You know, those answers to prayer come from the presence of God, come from knowing him. You can't trust someone you don't know. So, you know, having faith is trusting. It's trusting God. But to trust someone, you need to know them. And that comes from coming into his presence. And one of the ways, I've mentioned it before, that I love to come into God's presence is just one of many ways. And it's a way that seems to work for me, but in this season, God may change it. You know, it's always being open to what God wants. But on a Monday evening, Joan Baker and I, and occasionally others join in, we have a time of, well, I call it a being evening. We just put on some soft instrumental Christian music, and we just submit everything to God. There's no pressure. We haven't got an agenda. We just be in his presence. Sometimes we hear from him, sometimes we don't. But we always know we've been in God's presence. And it's a form of prayer, but it's being open to him, to whatever he wants to do. And, you know, it's like a weight lifted off your shoulders, because there's so much of this doing and feeling as though you've got to achieve and do things. And it's just so great just to be with him. And in that time, we hear quite a lot of things. And there was one time during one of these Monday evenings that I had this vision. And as soon as I closed my eyes to listen to the music, and in this vision, I saw the Lord. I was in the throne room. And I saw the Lord. He was seated on his throne. I've seen him like this before. He's seated on his throne. And when I see him on his throne, he's always high up. And there's steps coming from the throne. And his cloak is like water almost, silk, flowing down the steps. So I'm trying to describe this a bit. So I want you to visualize it. Seeing the Lord seated on his throne, he's high and lifted up. And I'm in his throne room and I'm dancing. I'm dancing before him. You know, when you're sitting in his presence or lying or whatever position you're in, but when you're in his presence, you can do anything. I can dance amazingly in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, you can sing amazingly in the presence of the Lord. It's not necessarily out loud, but there's amazing things you can do in the spirit, in his presence. Well, I was dancing before the Lord and I'd got this huge golden flag. It was a lot bigger than this one, but this helps you to visualize it. I'm dancing around with this flag, and I'm running around and swirling with this flag, and I'm waving it around. And as I'm doing that, there's like, you know, as you see that flag waving, there's like a breeze coming from the flag. But imagine that as though you can see it, as though it's like leaving a trail wherever it's waving. And that's what I was seeing, like a trail, like an aroma that I was spreading around as I was dancing before him. And it was just wonderful, just being in his presence. And then the scene changed in this vision. And I was on horseback. And I was fully dressed in shining armour, a bit like Joan of Arc. And I'd still got my flag, this big, great big gold flag. And I could see we were cantering along, so the flag was waving as I was cantering along on this horse. And we were going through water. And I could see the water splashing as we were going through, just the shallow water, you know, as though we were going along the edge of a shoreline. And I could see the water splashing up over the horse's hooves as we cantered along. And then I stopped, or the horse stopped, and I'm just sitting there, and it is like there's a beam of light coming down, the sunlight, the sunshine coming down, and the wind's blowing my hair. And I'm sitting on this horse with the flag, just sitting there, watching, just enjoying this moment. And then in front of me, I saw a roaring fire, the flames of this fire. And I watched, and as I watched this, just a minute, I'm getting tangled up here. As I watched this fire burning, this roaring fire, it started to spread. And you know when they have a fuse and you see the flame go along and it spreads along a fuse? Well, it was a bit like that. But this fire was spreading and it went round in a big circle and joined up. So there's this big circle of flames. And then I heard a sound to the right of me, and I looked, and I saw people coming. Lots of people were coming. Some were on crutches. They had bandages. They were limping. Their bandages around their heads, bloodstained bandages. People were leaning on one another, supporting one another, and they were wounded as though they were wounded in a battle. They were battle weary, but they were coming, lots of them. They were coming, and they were coming towards this circle of fire. And as they came into the circle of fire. And this, as they came in to the circle of fire, they started throwing off the crutches, throwing off the bandages. And they started jumping and shouting and rejoicing and praising God that they were totally made well. And they'd come into, it seemed like they'd come into a restricted area out of a bigger area, but they came into freedom. Outside of the circle, they were bound. They were wounded, but they came into this circle and they were free. Totally free, totally healed as they came in. And I realized at this point that I wasn't alone. And I looked to the side of me and there was Jesus. And he was seated on a white horse. And we looked at one another and smiled as if to say, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great to see this? And it was almost like, together, we can do anything. Together, nothing is impossible. I mean, I was just sitting there watching this happen. And then I got off my horse and I went before the Lord. I went down on my knees before the Lord and I gave him the golden flag. I gave it to him. Now, when you get a vision of any kind, you know, obviously we need to seek the Lord of what it actually means. Most of it speaks for itself. But it's about coming into God's presence, getting to know him, coming before him in worship. And that is not just singing songs, it's submitting your lives to him. But yes, there are those intimate moments. We need that time to just be with him, not striving. The work comes out of that relationship. It's not about working to get in there. It's about being in there and doing the work from that place, out of the relationship. So I was before God worshiping. Now I know it was me in this vision, but the church is made up of is people. It's a body of people. And I believe the Lord was saying that although it was me, I represented the people, the church, the body. This church, the wider church, but God's people. So it's about coming into his presence, drawing near to him in intimacy, really getting to know him, coming into his throne room. In one sense, you're already there. You're already there because he's put you there when you got saved. But in another sense, we need to come in and get to know what we what he has given to him, to us, and who he is and who we are in him. So I came into his presence. I was worshipping him. And then I was dressed in armor. I was ready for the battle because I'd been in his presence. I was ready for the battle. I was armed, fully armed, ready. And the flag represents the glory of God, the goodness of God. You see, when I was dancing, I was spreading the aroma. As I was worshipping God, I was getting fired up in myself. The fire began to burn. The passion in me rose up, started to burn. And it's from his presence that we start to get passionate about him. We start to fall in love with him. And we spread that aroma wherever we go. It comes out of that relationship. And so because the fire had begun in my heart, and then it spread a wall around, a wall of fire around. And in Revelations, what was the verse? I've got reference to a verse. Oh, no, sorry, in Zechariah 2. Verses 4 to 5. Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord. And I will be its glory within. And he will be its passion within. He's passionate about us and he wants us to start getting passionate about him, falling in love with him. So because, simply because I'd been worshipping him and coming into his presence in this vision, then the fire had begun to burn, the passion in me had begun to burn, which also gets rid of all the rubbish. As we get passionate about him, the rubbish gets burnt up out of our lives. And the fire can be protective as well. As the fire burnt him, the passion in my heart burned, it built a wall of fire for others to come into, of that protection. And you know, can you imagine that? The whole body together, what that wall of fire that these people can come into. And people are drawn, you know, when someone's in love, you can see it. Their eyes sparkle. They can't stop talking about the one that they love. You know, they're passionate about that one. And so people are attracted to that. They're drawn to it. So because we're in love with Jesus, not because we're doing this, that, and the other, it's because of the passion that they see in us, the passion they see in our eyes, in our lives, in our hearts, and the way we're doing things, because we are passionate about Jesus, because we love him. Others are drawn in. They're attracted to that. They see something they want. They see something that's worth having and they're drawn into this. Now, it's not me doing anything in this vision. I'm just worshipping God. I'm just drawing near to him and loving him. And out of that, God brings these people in and he heals them and he sets them free. And I'm sitting on that horse just watching him. When that horse, by the way, was going through the water, that was the Holy Spirit. We were walking through the way of the Spirit. You know, we were directed by the Holy Spirit. And so the people came in, they were healed. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, Lord, isn't this wonderful? He's there at the side of me. He's doing it. And there's an excitement and, oh, this is great. But, you know, then I got off my horse. And I, you know, I got off my mount and gave him the glory. I bowed down and I gave him the glory because it was nothing to do, it was no great thing on my part. It was him. It was all him. And, you know, the word said when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandments in the Bible? And Jesus said, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then the second is to love others as yourself. You know, you can love others after you love God. You know, you love God. Out of that, you love the others. Okay, so everything follows on from that. It's about worship. Worship as a lifestyle, worship as, those moments of intimacy. It's about knowing him. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Brilliant.
Excellent. See, we are a body, aren't we? And the Lord has been speaking in recent times about building us up as a body. Yeah. And the other week, I had this picture of, a prophetic picture of the Lord coming with a scepter and the rod of his righteousness actually resting over us as a church. Every time I pray for the church, I see the scepter over us as a body. And that scepter of authority, of grace, of favour, of righteousness is working upon us as we submit to him. And out of this scepter, there was a fire that was going all around the church. It was like a wall of fire that was over us. We became a wall of fire. And in these weeks, we've been talking about God building us up as a body. We've been talking about the Lord building the walls. Have you been here? Does that ring any bells with any of you? In recent weeks, we've been talking about how the Lord is wanting to build the church. We talk about building the walls and how these walls are the walls of prayer, relationship, worship. That's what it is, our relationship with the Lord. And then the second part is our relationship with one another. And when those two things flow together, you have walls that are built up. Amen. That's actually how Jesus builds the church, through relationship with him and relationship with one another. It's very simple. And we just need to go with him in this, because that's what God wants to do with us as a whole body. Crawley, East Grinstead, and what he's doing with us as a people, that he's wanting to build up strong community, strong church, full of his fire. Amen. Amen. Now, I need some help this morning. I need some help from some of you to read some scriptures out. So I'll quickly hand these out, and perhaps Simon can be my roving Mr. Mike. When we come to it, anyway. I need some nice loud readers this morning. So let's have... come towards the back here, Christina. Great. Now, it's amazing this morning that we shouldn't really be amazed, should we? But it's wonderful how that the Lord puts together a meeting. I don't try and plan too much in a meeting. It seems like we have lots of things to do each week, but I don't over-plan it. And then we have to work within a time schedule, which is always a bit disappointing because we always run out of time. But when Jerry stood up here and spoke from Job 22, I thought that's amazing because that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. The Lord put this on my heart. And not this verse, but the whole principle, because I'm talking this morning about how love builds up. Remember, building up the walls, and particularly the things that we speak. That's what God put in my heart. And just quickly turn to Job 22, and let's just read that verse again, because it really... Verse 27... Let's read it. Job 22, verse 26. I believe the Lord really wants to encourage us today. Is that right? I believe the Lord really loves us. He's so in love with us, and he wants to so encourage us this morning. And there is a way in which we can develop this relationship with him and with one another. And it says here in verse 26, "For then you will have your delight in the Almighty, and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him, he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare or decree a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways." Anyone want the light of God to shine on your ways? You know, while Rose was speaking this morning and hearing some of these testimonies, God said to me, the Spirit said to me, Each one of you will have experiences like Peter and John did.
Amen.
What was their experience? Their experience was when they went up to the temple to pray, they said to the man who was lame, who couldn't walk and hadn't walked for many, many years, was it 40 years? And we'd been to that gate just outside Jerusalem. I mean, those steps are very high to get up to them. And he'd just been sitting there begging for a supply of money, but he was looking to the wrong supply. And when Peter looked into his eyes and he was begging for money, he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have,
Amen.
I give to you."
Amen.
Now listen, we need to change what we think and change what we say.
Amen.
Because God's saying, I heard the Holy Spirit say very clearly, he said, "You, all of you as a church, are going to have these wonderful experiences of miracles."
Amen.
That you'll say, "What I have, I give to you," to people out on the streets, in the squares, your neighbours, your relatives. It just needs us. We need to step out of the boat. We need to step out in faith and know that the Holy Spirit is moving us to do it. But Peter responded, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk." And immediately, it says, as he took him by, see, Peter did the job. He actually took him by the wrist and he began to pick him up. And as he did, he was releasing his faith. But what was really happening was the Holy Spirit was flowing through him, and strength and power was flowing out of his mouth and out of his being. And the man immediately experienced a miracle, and he began to walk, having been lame for 40 years. Powerful miracle. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this is the kind of thing that he's called us as a church to be living in.
Amen.
And the fact is, we're not at the moment living in that fullness. It's called fullness. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, but this is what God has for us. So I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you just to look in their eyes and just say, "What I have, I will give to you."
Amen.
Just say that. "What I have, I will give to you." And some of you thinking, "I don't know that I've got this." Some of you thinking, "What's going to happen next?" Well, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and the Bible says that if the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he will do the same thing through you. What he needs is a people of faith who actually believe this stuff, who actually believe, well, the same Spirit is living in me. Therefore, when I reach out to someone with the love of God, the same thing's got to happen, because it's the same Spirit. It's that simple. And I think most of the miracles that Jesus did, they probably just happened. They probably just happened without any tongues, without any shouts or jumping up and down. It probably just happened. He just passed someone and just touched them and they were healed. I think very often that his miracles were very speedy and quick. They just happened because he was constantly releasing this flow of the river of the Spirit. And God's saying to us, it's to do with what we decree. It's to do what we believe in our hearts and what we speak with our mouths. And this is what I want to talk about this morning, because God wants us to be a body that's building one another up. That's our start point. We're building one another up. We're building ourselves up in God. We're building one another up. But then we're taking what God's done amongst us out into the world, into the workplace and where we live, into our local areas, and releasing the kingdom of God. It's great, isn't it? I mean, I love that this morning, what Kelly said about in the hospital. She basically released the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And this man is in heaven this morning, dancing and rejoicing before the King of Kings, because somebody had the audacity to draw the curtains around his in the hospital, right? And actually preach and lay hands on him and do what she had to do. That's what she had to do. But then the Holy Spirit did the rest. And that's a picture for us, that God wants us to step out of our boat. Turn to someone and say, "Step out of your boat." Say, "Get out of your boat." We've become too comfortable. We've become too comfortable in the things that we're just in living too normally. God wants us to live super normally, supernaturally. We need to get out of our boat. We're too narrow-minded in our thinking. We need to broaden the place of our mind. God needs to broaden our mind, our thinking, so that we're thinking faith. And just come with me to 1 Corinthians 8, please. And we're going to rush. No, we're not going to rush. We're going to run through some scriptures together. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. And we're talking about the tongue, that what we decree, what we declare, will come to pass.
That's what prayer is all about. That's what our relationship with the Lord is all about. That where, what we speak out will come to pass. If we speak with faith, it will happen.
Amen.
That's why you need to be careful what we speak. Because if we speak in unbelief, that's negative faith. That's going the opposite way. So if you speak in unbelief, that will happen too. So if you start feeling a bit like sick and ill and you feel like flu is coming, you say, oh, it's about that time of year, I'm about to have flu, I'm going to be rough for at least a week. That's exactly what you'll get. You just said it. You just spoke your faith over your body, and your body is immediately starting to go into that line. God is saying you've got to turn around your language so that the moment any sickness comes near you, you speak faith over your body.
Amen.
You resist sickness, and you say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm in health. Thank you, I have the health of Jesus living in me. And it's speaking that way and learning how to speak what God speaks that will bring us into a place of living by faith, walking in faith. And 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1, just the second half, we know that it says, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love builds up. I just want to think about those last couple of words. Love edifies or builds up. The word edify means to build up. God is wanting you to build up your love for the Lord Jesus. That's what we heard about in Rose's prophetic testimony this morning. Love builds up. God wants you to build up your love relationship with him. Ladies and gentlemen, and members of the jury, God wants us to build our love up for the King of Kings. And the ladies will do it in a ladylike way, and the men will do it in a manly way, because we're different, but we have the same God. And God wants us to build up our relationship with him. And it says love builds up. Part of that love is what we speak. You can't love someone and not say anything. You have to say something and it comes from your heart. And the same is true in our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with one another. Just come with me to John 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. What we speak is so important. You know, Jesus is our example, isn't he? If you think about Jesus, look at the scriptures, what they talk about him, and remember that he is our example of how to live. It says in verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. That's just your self-life. Right? You on your own without Christ. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are what?
Spirit
and they are life. So what came out of Jesus, out of his heart, was words of spirit and words of life. Words of spirit and words of life. And this is how Jesus lived. This is constantly he was living in that realm of the Holy Spirit. The most ordinary, the most natural man on the planet. And yet the most supernatural. That's the way Jesus was. He was the most real person that's ever lived. He was the most most normal and yet the most supernatural, if you understand my drift. He wasn't weird. He wasn't strange. He was an ordinary Jew. That's why people were shocked about who he was. But when he started to speak and when he started to do things, the supernatural power that was flowing out of his life was clearly not human. It was God. And, of course, he was God as well. And so the words he spoke were spirit and life. And then John 8, verse 38. John 8, verse 38. Jesus says these words. He said, I speak what I have seen with my Father. What Rose was speaking about this morning, she spoke what she had seen in a vision. What we speak, we need to see what we speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What God shows us, what we read in the Word, what we, as we pray, as we listen to God, we'll see things, and out of what we see, we'll speak. That's why I speak over this church, that we will be a church of thousands. Because I see it. I see something here. I see us growing and developing as a church. I don't see it as it is now. I see what God has spoken. I'm seeing what God has spoken over at East Grinsey. I see what God has spoken over our nation. I'm seeing some things this morning, and you are too. And God, and what we see, we will speak. We will speak with faith. And this is what Jesus said here. I speak what I have seen with my Father, And he was talking to the unbelieving Pharisees, I think it was, because they also saw spoke what they saw, which was very negative. And now I'm going to ask whoever's got the number one piece of paper in their hand, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Listen to these scriptures, because these are truths about what we speak. So who's got the first one? There's two scriptures here.
Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad.
Yeah, a good word makes it glad. A good word makes it glad. And you.
That's Proverbs 12:25.
You got another one, Jerry?
Yeah.
Proverbs 15, verse 23 is on the next page. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth.
Whoa.
And a word spoken in due season, how good it is.
A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Who's got number two sheet? A couple more Proverbs coming up.
Yeah, this is Proverbs 25:11, which says, a word fitly spoken and in due season is like apples of gold in settings of silver.
Wow. They're talking about words, the words that we speak. Are your words like apples of gold in settings of silver? And what's the next one?
And the next one is Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, which says, every word of God is tried and purified. He is a shield to those who trust and take refuge in him. Add not to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar.
Whoa. So every word of God is tried. It's like purified by fire. They're the kind of words that need to come out of our mouths. Amen? We don't want to add things or take away. We want to speak what God speaks. Even in ordinary things, we want to be speaking right words, don't we? Out of right heart. And who's got sheet three? This is James, a few verses out of the book of James.
And the first scripture is James chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom.
Wow.
And then the next scripture is James 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check.
Whoa. That's a very powerful script. They're all powerful, aren't they? But if any men here, or women, if you want to be perfect, it's to listen to what you say. God wants to perfect you. He wants to perfect us.
Scripture is, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it.
Amen. So we need to watch what we say. Words that come out of our mouths. It's to do with our heart, and it's to do with the things that we speak. There's a scripture, I can't find it, but there's a prize for any of you that can, that says your speech and your words have gone out into all the earth or into all the world. Do you know when you speak? Because words are spirit, they're not just words, they're spirit and life. Those words actually go out into the atmosphere and do a work. Did you know that? This is how God operates. And I want us to come to Hebrews chapter 11 and just show you this in Hebrews 11 verse 3. Are you all with me? Are we all together here? We're speaking about words. We're speaking about the words of God. Speaking about the right words coming out of our hearts so that we can build one another up. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, very interesting verse here, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What's this saying? It's saying that when God made the earth, when God made the universe, created the universe, he spoke words. He spoke creative words. And these words framed things out of nothing. And believe it or not, you and I have the same ability, because God's made us in his own image. And he's given us the ability to speak forth words of spirit and life. And those words create things. That's what prayer is all about. Those words bring God's kingdom down upon the earth. Those words develop things and make things happen. Those words stop things and start things, bind things and loose things. And here we see in Hebrews that God spoke his word and the worlds were framed by the word of God. And that literally means, that word frame means to set in order, it means to equip, it means to adjust, it means to complete. It's the same meaning given to when the disciples mended their nets. So God has given you the ability to speak words of life, words that set things in order, words that equip, words that adjust, words that complete, words that mend. That's the responsibility that each one of us has. That's why Jesus said, each one of you and me will give an account before God of every word that we spoke. That's why it's a good idea to be cleansed every day by the blood of Jesus, because I don't want to go to heaven and find there's a whole pile of words that I spoke that were negative, unbelieving, and destructive. God speaking to us as a body is saying, change the way you speak, change your language, change the things that you let God cleanse your heart, and then start speaking. Get into a practice of speaking what God says and start framing some things. Because when we frame things with the word of God, we're going to see answers to prayer, and we all want that. We all need to see prayer answers. But also, when we speak to one another, we can speak words of faith and words of life that will actually be like God speaking through us to one another. Even simple words of love and encouragement goes a long way, because God is a great encourager. I mean, every time I get up in the morning, he encourages me. Amen. He doesn't tell me I'm a worm or I'm terrible or I look bad or I'm bristly. I may be all those things in my own eyes, right? But in God's eyes, I'm accepted, I'm loved, etc. And God speaks his word over us, and we need to start framing things with his word. Amen. Wonderful. Now, let's look at who's got sheet number 4? Isaiah 55, this is, in verses 10 to 12. Listen to this.
As the rain.
55. Isaiah 55.
Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 12. As the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it mud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will return to me. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace.
Amen.
And the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the streets of the field will clap their hands.
Wow. Now this is talking about God speaking his word, and it says that his word will not return void, empty. His words are spirit and life. And he's saying to you and me, he says, you have the tongue of a ready writer. If you let the blood of Jesus cleanse your heart and my heart, and we walk in that fellowship with him every day, you'll find that God will use your heart, he'll use the words that you speak will not return empty. They'll actually return full. They'll actually do a work. Those promises that God spoke over your life, and that some of those promises you haven't seen fulfilled yet, they will come to pass, provided you keep speaking his word. Amen. If we understand the principle that the words that we speak are very important in God's sight, and the words that we speak to one another are equally important. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 24, it says this. Just turn to someone and say, let us consider. Okay, let us consider this in verse 24. Let's go to verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What's confession? Speaking. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope about Jesus, about who he is and what he's done for us, about who we are. For he who promised is faithful. And verse 24, let us consider one another. I wonder how often you do that. We often consider about me. I often consider about me or what I want. But how often do we consider about somebody else? How often am I considering about the people around me in the church, about your family, about your wife, your children, about relatives, about our church, about every member of the church? And it says here, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good deeds. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Love and good works. You know, one of the ways that we do that is the things that we say. It's not the only thing, but it's part of what we do, is we stir one another up in love and good works by the things that we say and do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. What does that word exhorting mean? Lifting up, building up, encouraging one another. That's what that word means. It says that we're to encourage one another, build one another up, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So how do you encourage one another? How do we encourage one another? All kinds of ways. But one of the ways that we can do it is by the things that we speak and the things, obviously, that we do. Now, who's got sheet number 5, please? This is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25.
Right, Ephesians 4:25. Therefore you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body.
Amen. And then verse 29, Alistair, please.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen.
Amen. Now, if in that last part of verse 29, it says here, let no corrupt, or it says at the beginning, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That this is God speaking to us this morning. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Who has the control over our mouths?
I do.
I do. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and take control over us. Yield to his rule, if you like. But you have control over your mouth and over your tongue. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. What does word edification mean? Building up. So we need to build one another up. It says that it may impart grace to the hearers. So every time that we speak words of love and words of life and words of truth and words of encouragement to one another, God says there's a release of my grace that will come through you to that person. So you're not just words. It's not just, say, Jerry just coming to encourage me. What if he speaks a word of encouragement to me, he's releasing the grace, that's the power and the favour of God towards me. It comes through him. You see, we're a body. We're the body of Christ. And because Jesus Christ is living in us, what we speak really matters to him. Because we need to be speaking the same as if he was speaking, which he is, speaking through us. And if we begin to see this in a new way, that it's not just, we look at things on a human level, but we need to see things in the spirit, that the Lord is living in us, so what we say really, really matters. Amen. And we need to, all of us need to guard what we say and be careful what we say, so that what we do is we impart grace to the hearers. We literally impart, there's a grace that comes, there's life that comes as we speak. And in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 18, John says these words, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. He's not saying don't love in word or in tongue, but he says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So he's saying both things matter, that we love both in word, what we say, and in deed, what we do. So we need to love one another, both in what we say and what we do. And then John 13, Gospel of John chapter 13. Little children, Jesus says, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. One of the ways that we love one another is by the words that we speak. Are you getting the message this morning?
Yes.
that what we say, what we speak in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another, and in our relationship with a lost world really, really matters. I know unsaved people that have been put off from the Lord simply because some well-meaning Christians said it the wrong way. I know some Christians who have definitely been put off because what they saw was legalism and not love. But the moment we start releasing love to people that are unsaved, they can tell it's love and they receive the words that we speak. Isn't that right? God is wanting us to be a people of love who are living in our love for God, who are living in our love for one another, and you can tell it by the things that we speak and the things that we say. It's amazing. You know, inside of you, it says that God's word is like a seed, and that seed, like an acorn, produces life. It goes into the ground and dies and splits open. That's what we've got to do. We've got to die to ourselves and split open. But what comes out is life, is the life, the resurrection life of Christ, of the Spirit. And that resurrection life of the Spirit, that's where we need to draw the words that we speak from, words of Spirit and life, so that we love one another and we're releasing those words of love and life towards each other. What you say has great effect. Amen? What you say has great effect. Just say that with me. What I say has great effect. What I say will come to pass. Amen. And this is God has given us the ability to speak his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just bring this part of the meeting, the service, to a close, because we're going to dedicate Fumi and Shola's son. But I just want us to stand, and I just want us to stand up just for a minute and respond to the Lord this morning over this word, because what are you going to do with this message this morning? Apply it. This message will just be like water off a duck's back if you don't apply what God's word is saying to us today, because God wants us to build one another up in love. Amen. He wants it to be real practical, and I just want you to respond this morning. Just close your eyes. And how are you going to respond to this message this morning? You know, do you ever hear people say sometimes, I'm always talking to myself? Do you ever hear people say that? Forgive me for talking to myself. Well, actually, it's quite a biblical thing to do. We're supposed to speak to ourselves. We're supposed to build ourselves up by speaking God's word over our lives. That's what it means. And what do you need to do to change how you speak to yourself? Do you speak to yourself? It's a biblical practice. You should speak the word of God over your life and speak to yourself and build yourself up in tongues and in English too, and speak the word of God over your own life. And I just want you just to lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Close your eyes and lift your hands. And Father, as we offer ourselves up to you this morning, Lord, I pray that you change the way that we speak, the way that we think about ourselves this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask you today that you're going to do a divine work of change in our lives, each one of us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and that you'll burn away, Lord, the wrong thinking that we have in our minds and break strongholds, Lord, that hinder us in even the way that we think about ourselves. And Father, I pray that we'll begin to speak over ourselves, speak over our lives the word of God, and speak over our lives what you speak about us. That we'll learn to speak over ourselves and to ourselves with the word of God, to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And Father, I pray even this morning we'll begin to do this in a new way, Lord, from this morning. And Lord, this morning as we lift our hearts and hands to you, Lord, we make a dedication of our hearts and tongues to you this morning. Just put your finger on your tongue this morning. Just put your finger on your tongue this morning. Father, I pray for all of us today that you will do a new work in our tongues and in our hearts, Lord. By your Holy Spirit. You change our hearts and change the way we speak, Lord. Even to one another, that today, Lord, you can take your fingers out now. And just say, Lord Jesus, today I choose to speak your word, to release words of life, to impart grace to others, to impart grace and love, to speak words of faith, that will build up and not knock down. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, just one more thing. Father, I pray, Lord, today that you'll use me to speak words of life to the lost, to the unsaved, to those who are called to be saved. I dedicate my life, Lord, to frame things by your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord thanks. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you didn't write those scriptures down, you need to. When you come to a meeting, write down scriptures, because God's given me these scriptures particularly for us to look at. If you want to grab hold of a CD after, grab hold of the CD. Meditate on the Word of God.
Amen.
We're here to build one another up in love, in loving words, in words of faith, the words that God is speaking. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes